And so we're going to begin, if we could, 1 Corinthians 15 chapter with verse 35. If you have your Bibles and would like to stand for the reading of the word, that would be great. The Apostle Paul speaking, some will say, how will the dead be raised up and with what body will they come? O foolish one, you know that what you sow is not made alive unless it dies, and what you sow, you do not sow in the body that shall be. But mere grain, perhaps wheat and some other grain, but God gives it a body as it pleases him, and to each one of us his own body. All flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another of angels, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial one is another. There is a glory of the sun, there is a glory of the moon, there is a glory of the stars. From one star it differs from another in its glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. And the last Adam became a living spirit. However, the spirit is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of earth, made of dust, and the second is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, also those who are made of dust. As is the heavenly man, so also those that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of the dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must take off incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption is put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. No, seriously, be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. Lord, we ask you to add your blessing to the reading of your word. And Lord, we thank you right now for the hope that is set before us. Your scripture says that he who laughs last laughs best. When you stand and you look at the armies of the enemy as they come against you, and it says that you laugh from heaven. So Lord, we can laugh in faith, and it's not premature knowing that the victory is ours. And we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Within the scriptures and within the epistles this morning, you're not going to get into any one of the four gospels, the epistles, or the book of Revelation without talking about a central common theme, which is the hope of the resurrection. I know this is not Easter morning, but I feel like we should talk about this. I'm not just going to talk about now. There's three comings of Christ. There was the coming as a baby. There is the coming for us. And there is the coming with us. Can I have a witness? And so with that being said, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. And he's kind of rocked because some people have said that the resurrection had already taken place and had overthrown the faith of some. That they missed the resurrection, or the resurrection really wasn't like that. And so what happens is people begin to lose faith in the hope that was set before them. And the Apostle Paul said this, if in this world, I'm going to say this, now a lot of our preaching is so that we can have our best life now. Right? And I believe that God wants to bless. I believe that God wants to heal. I believe that God delivers. I believe that God saves. And I believe that so many blessings for the Christian life are in the Word of God. But how many of you know sometimes you cannot fit all of the promises of God in a 40-year time span? Because when we're listening to the Lord, we're speaking and looking in the temporal, in like a half an hour sitcom, or a supersized meal that takes 5 minutes. We're like, okay, Lord, I've waited on the promises. What if some of the promises of God that He has for us are stored up in other places? I'm not trying to take away your faith of the here and now, but I'm here to tell you that it's a gift that we're here today, but our reward is in the hereafter. I had one lady come up to me and say at a revival, she said, in fact, the pastor brought her up and said, she said she'll give her heart to the Lord if you save her husband, heal her back, and gave this whole grocery list. And how many know God's that good? He would do that, right? It's usually not contingent on our goodness, on God's goodness. It's contingent on our faith, as Ann said, our response to His goodness. And so something rose up inside of me. It sounded rude, but I felt like a righteous indignation as the pastor was saying, tell her God will do all this and she'll serve Him. I said, no deal. No deal. God doesn't need you. The world does not revolve around you. It's not about you. It's about Him at the end of the day. And so I said, if He doesn't give His heart to the Lord, and God doesn't heal, and God doesn't give you that promotion, and God doesn't give you that job, is He still worthy to be worshiped? Is He still worthy to give your heart to? Or are you going to confine Him to some temporary expression of joy only to forget that we are eternal beings on earth as it is in heaven? Meaning, I am already eternal. I'm just in a nurse suit. There's a scripture in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And I love it. It is the article of faith. It is the founders of faith, the fathers and mother of faith. And the first part of faith is something called overcoming faith. And I love the overcoming faith. By faith, some had their children raised from the dead. By faith, some who had their wombs locked up conceived. By faith, some kings turned over armies when they were outnumbered. And it goes through the litany of faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, they got a manifestation in the here and now. There's overcoming faith, but then there's something called enduring faith. And He shifts gears on us and He says, by faith, some were sawn in two. Well, so much for that prayer healing. By faith, some were sawn in two. By faith, some ran in poverty. By faith, some had sackcloth. By faith, some were persecuted. By faith, some hid in caves from persecution. And it said, God is not ashamed to call them His children who endured by faith, not just overcame by faith. So we like to fit everything into the overcoming faith, but there is an enduring faith. And it says why they endured that way. It said, some rejected release from prison. Some rejected the death penalty being removed so that they might have, you read it, a better resurrection. Think about that. Some rejected acquittal. Some said, I'm not going to be a moderate because that is more real to me than this right now. There's a story, it's not in the Bible, but it's in our biblical history. It's the book of the martyrs and how each one of the believers actually perished. All of the disciples and the early church fathers. In an account, it says that Peter was about to be martyred, but he got an escape plan. And as he was walking outside the city gates, he came face to face with a theophany, a manifestation of Jesus. And the account is in so many words, Peter saying, or Jesus saying, where are you going? And he got it. He could go back there or he could go up there. And so the Peter turns around and he goes and faces his captors. And this time the jail doors didn't open. This time there wasn't a great earthquake. This time angels didn't fling open the gates. It said that Peter was hung on a cross, and when he went to be hung on the cross, it said that he said, I'm not worthy to be hung like my master. Hang me upside down. A guy by the name of Polycarp, an early church father, going to be persecuted. They were burning them at the stake. They set him on fire. And when they set him on fire at the stake, the fire arced around him and would not burn him. And it was like a halo of fire around him. And finally, the Roman general told the guards to thrust the spear into him and kill him. And the guards were too afraid to. And so what happens is the Roman general grabs the spear, thrusts Polycarp through. And it says that when he exhausted his life, it put out the flames, his life. Put out the flames. The Apostle Paul on the Appian Way, when he saw them going to behead him, he ran to the gallows. He's like, this is the moment. This does not translate in America. I know it doesn't make sense, but it's happening all over the world right now. They ran to the gallows. He laid his head down. And the account has that the people that saw him die accepted the Lord, not because of his life, but because of his death. They said, we don't have a hope like that. Talking about the resurrection. There is a resurrection. Paul was defending the right of a resurrection, not ever to take it from your mind that there is a better day, that we are all short timers here. Scripture says our life is but a blade of grass, like a flower that comes up and withers, like a mist that quickly disappears in the sunlight. Oh, we got one chance in this world, and there is an eternity of rewards for those who choose to live the inconvenience of a Christian life right now, and it's the resurrection that guarantees that. How is the resurrection? How does that even... I like to think about this. I just like to put my tinfoil hat on this morning and think about things that we haven't seen. How is the resurrection going to take place? How's the resurrection going to take place? The Bible says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and one scripture says with the shout of the archangel, in a moment... And it gives the term in a twinkling of an eye. GE actually measured the light from a twinkling of an eye, and it is 10,000th of a second. Now, if I'm going to be raptured, that's the kind of death I want to have, like a 10,000th of a second. Bam! You know, I'm a brand new creature. But it says that the resurrection is in a suddenly... And it says the resurrection is going to happen just like it happened in the days of Noah. People were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage. And all of a sudden the door shut. And for us, the door opens in this dispensation. There's a new reality. And it says that the Lord is going to come for us like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. And so one brother said to me, well, the fact of the matter is nobody's going to know when the resurrection is going to take place. You understand I'm not talking about the rapture? Because everybody likes to talk about the rapture, but the Bible talks more about a resurrection than a rapture. Why? Because there's going to be more resurrected than rapture. And so what happens is, it says, he's going to come like a thief in the night. And so people say, well, we're not going to know. But it goes on to say this. But you are not children of the night, that day should overtake you unaware. It says that you are children of light, and then it admonishes us to say this. So be alert, be aware, understand the time that you live in so that you can prepare yourself for that great day. He's going to come suddenly. He's going to come like a thief in the night to those that are walking in darkness. There is going to be an instant, listen to this, an instant glorification. Instant glorification. Now, Scripture goes on, it says that Jesus must reign until all things be fulfilled. And so God's taking care of a lot of things right now. God's kingdom has never gone backwards. God's kingdom has always grown. Can we all agree to that? of the increase of his kingdom, his government, there shall be no end. God's kingdom has always grown. But you also understand that Satan's influence in men has continued to grow as well. The Bible says evil men will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's the parable between the tares and the wheat. And the parable between the tares and the wheat, it says that they grow up together until that day, until the appointed time. And it says that we will grow up together, and there's a time of fruition in which God is going to harvest the earth of his precious souls. How is the resurrection? The Bible says that we will be picked up by angels. Angels will personally pick us up. It says if we have been planted, now get your minds around this, if we have been planted in the likeness of Jesus Christ, if we have been planted in the likeness of the Lord, we shall also be resurrected in his likeness. Not just saying we're going to look like him, but we're going to look like him. On the day of your resurrection, you guys getting ready for that day? On the day of your resurrection, are you looking forward to that day? On the day of the resurrection, you're going to get a glorified body. And I can look at Jonathan right now and I can say, you look about 35 or so. But when I look at Jonathan on that day, I'm going to say, doggone, you look about eternal. What does that even look like? The best is yet to come. We'll get a glorified body that will look like him, that will be like him. Because there's an old scripture that says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto yourself. So Jesus says, I can't be this glorified, not glorify my people with the glory that God has given me. You will be glorified. You will take upon yourself the essence of the magnitude of who Jesus is on that day. And heaven is not a place of ignorance, but it is a place of understanding. The day you get your glorified body, the Bible says that you will know even as you are known. How many of you got some questions that God just has not answered you yet? How many of some of us, when we get to heaven and we get the glorified body and he downloads heaven's knowledge into us, some of these questions just aren't even going to matter anymore. And so some people backslide because God didn't answer them about something that was really, really difficult. And the fact of the matter is it's not always for the here. God is fitting this life that we have right now. He is fitting it into an eternal purpose, not just the next 20 years. And so some of the things that we walk through right now by faith are so that we can have overcoming faith here so that we can be a testament to our children. But some is enduring faith so that we can reap a reward on the other side. That is so unbelievable. In the resurrected body, you will have eyes and you will see better than 2020. With your resurrected body, you will have clothes and you will have jewelry. Come on, ladies, amen. You will have clothes, you will have jewelry. You will be speaking spirits. You will have a body. You will always be a son of man, but you will always be a son of God, just like Jesus. You will be 100% spiritual, and you will be 100% natural, all combined together to be the perfect person. You will have hands to lift up. You will have knees to bow, and you will have access to heaven and earth whenever you want to. The Bible says when heaven comes up down and hovers above earth, that the earth will be God's footstool and heaven will be God's throne room. And it says that there will be called a way of holiness, a highway of holiness, and we can get on our Holy Ghost Uber and we can traffic into the courts of God, or we can come and hang out with the world and live and reign with Christ. That's some crazy stuff. There is a resurrection. How will it happen? I'll say this. There will also be rank in heaven. There will also be order in heaven. Heaven is not a socialist organization. Everybody does not get the same thing. Everybody does not get the same body, it says. Everybody will not get the same reward. We will get according to our works in faith. It says that some who have led many to the Lord, the radiance of the glory like 10,000 welders will be blasting off of them, speaking as a testament to their work on the earth. You will receive a new name. on that day. And I'll tell you what, at our glorification, this is the final step to our complete redemption. That's our final step to the complete redemption. How will it happen? It goes on, and I'm going to give us some scriptures there. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. How will this happen? First, now, put your heads around this. Each one in his own order. There is an order to the resurrection. There is an order to you receiving your body. And it says, first, the people that are resurrected are the people that are dead. Duh. Right? And after that, those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. Comfort y'all with these words, it says. And so, does the resurrection happen before the rapture or after, according to Scripture? First, the dead in Christ shall rise. And then those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up. So there is a resurrection before a rapture, which breaks a lot of our theology, but I can show you 20 places where it says that. And I can't show you any places where it says we are out of here before the resurrection. So I think we need to grow up. Be steadfast, be mature, be equipped for whatever comes our way in this world. First, it says the dead of Christ shall rise. And then those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up with the Lord. One of the amazing things about this resurrection, I'm going to go on because I'm running out of time. Melanie, I had all this stuff, and Melanie's like, you can't unpack that on Sunday morning. So we'll just have to come back and talk a little bit more about it. When? When is the resurrection? By the way, if you're interested, we'll be gathered by angels. Matthew 13, Revelation 14, Daniel 12, Matthew 24. I got to go there. I'm going to finish it. Okay. Dear Jesus, we'll be raised like him. We'll be raised with him. And we'll be taken out the same way he was taken out. And Jesus was not taken out in secret. I'm just saying what the Bible said. The Bible says, if we have been planted with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also, in the likeness of his resurrection, be caught away to be with him. And so listen, when Jesus was raised from the dead, people that were patriarchs were seen walking down the streets of Jerusalem, speaking about the majesty of the fulfillment of the prophecies and what happened. And so it's not like, okay, I like the old Left Behind movies where all of a sudden, where's Uncle Bob? And you see his clothes laid out in iron, you know, and the blender's going, cars are right, planes are falling out of the sky. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the resurrection is a visible sight. And the Apostle Paul also says in this chapter before, he says, of which many, you saw the resurrection, of which 500 men only, not mentioning the women and children, saw him at his ascension. In Acts, the first chapter, it talks about this, and it says that angels were there, and they said, why do you so steadfastly gaze up into heaven? Don't you know that this same Jesus that was taken from you today is going to come in like manner? Could you imagine the horror of the devil and principalities and powers and governments when they see those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and the Word of God coming up out of their grave, like the old song, ain't no grave gonna hold this body down, coming up out of the grave and ascending up into heaven in front of them. Yeah. Undeniable. When will this happen? This is speeding up. When will this happen? I was at the pork plant years ago, and I tried to share my faith with those that were in the pork plant with me. And everybody got kind of tired of listening to me, which everybody does. So I wouldn't take it personally. But I just got this thought. I went down the row and I asked everybody, if you could ask, there was like 20 people on the line that could hear me and we could talk. I said, if anybody was to ask Jesus one question, what would it be? Every one of them had the same response. Every one of them had the same response. And it was, when? I want to know the life shelf on this thing. When is he coming back? Jesus begins to coin some of these things. When is he coming back? It says that he's coming back after a time of great tribulation. He's coming back after a time of turmoil, after a time of trial. The kingdom never ceases to advance. But I believe that God is separating the sheep and the goats and the wheat and the chaff, possibly maybe in this generation. He's saying, are you for me or against me? Like in Baal's day with Elijah. There's a cataclysmic shift in the spirit, and God is separating. And some people that have loved us might hate us in the future. And some people that we used to be able to get along with now are going to despise us, possibly for no reason except that we love God and we won't comply to the ideology of the society that we live in because it is going against what God says. And righteous indignation is not hate speech. It's love. The Apostle Paul said this, am I your enemy because I love you and I tell you the truth? There's a time, and it says that this tribulation is going to happen. It says it's going to happen not because the devil is so powerful, but because the devil knows he has but a short time. He's going to throw everything he can against the wall to get you off of course, to get you off of what God's called you to do in the last days. Matthew 24 says this, immediately after the tribulation of those days. By the way, the tribulation is a 3.5-year period, and it is always Satan's wrath against the righteous. It's a 3.5-year period, 1,260 days, time, times, and the dividing of times in one place, 3.5 years specifically in another place. It is always a 3.5-year time of great turmoil. And Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and he shall send the sign of his coming in the sky, and he will send his angels to gather his elect from four corners of heaven to the other. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So there's a birthing pain. There's a trial time for the earth. There's a time for the earth to decide, are you for me and against me? And it is at the end of that 3.5-year period that is Satan's wrath. Well, the Bible says God has not appointed us to wrath, so I don't believe that. We are never appointed to God's wrath. For God hath not appointed us to wrath in Thessalonians, but to life and peace. God's wrath, listen, people get mixed up. Satan's wrath is one thing. It is against the saints. It is against the nation of Israel. It is against the righteous and the righteous rule of God. But then God pulls up his wrath at the end of it in Daniel. And God's wrath is a different type of wrath. Okay, he says, okay, you've done your best and my people have not denied me. Some of them have died, but they're about to pop out of the ground in just a couple of days. And then God's wrath happens. The sun becomes black as sackcloth of hair. The moon becomes as blood. Great earthquakes. Plagues begin to hit the blasphemers. And the people, or the communities, and the ideologies, and can I just say this, the governments that oppose him. Now, just think if you're a government system that hates Jesus and has tried to do everything to destroy the righteousness of Jesus and the people of God. And you see this great event. In fact, it says in the book of Revelation, there'll be two witnesses that will be testifying of Jesus Christ, and they will be martyred in the streets of Jerusalem. And after 3 days, it says that they will raise up for everybody to see. Now, when they get killed, it says that everybody has a party. It's like Christmas. They exchange gifts, and they lay in the street for 3 days, just like the Taliban would do to somebody. And all of a sudden they raise from the dead. And it says, they raise from the dead at the last trump. This is a trumpet sounds, and the dead raise. There is a sound. We talk about this like Brock on the day of Pentecost, a sound that creates a manifestation. God is a speaking spirit. There is going to be a shout of the archangel and a trumpet of God. And we are going to awaken. Lickety split. When is he coming? He's coming at the end of the tribulation. And by the way, there's like a 30 to 45 day period in Daniel where it talks about this God's wrath being but a very short time. We awake, we're alive. And it says, when the kings of the earth see us resurrected, and they see the judgment of God on wickedness and wicked ideologies, it says that the kings of the earth will run to NORAD. They will go into their bunkers. They will hide in their caves. Read it. It says when they see this stuff, when the kings of the earth see this, and there's nobody here to persecute anymore, there's nobody here to blame anymore, there's nobody here to kill anymore, it says the kings of the earth will run into caves and bunkers and gnaw their teeth and say, "Hide us from the Lamb and He who sits upon the throne." Popular opinion will not matter on that day. In Thessalonians, it says it will happen. When? After a falling away. It will happen on the last day, which is the last day of human government, the first day of God's government. Ephesians 1 and 10, it says, in the fullness of time, in the fullness of time, God will gather all things to Himself. Those things in heaven, those things in earth, those things under the earth, resurrection, and everything in Him. Just a little bit about the tribulation. The Bible says that those who are resurrected, the time of the resurrection, those that are resurrected are those who have not received the name nor the number of the name upon themselves, so they might buy or sell. How many know you got to be here to experience that if it happens before the resurrection? I want to read one last text here for this morning. It's out of Philippians, the third chapter. This was so important to the Apostle Paul, because the Bible says that we have been born again into a lively hope. I live not only out of hope and, thankfulness is for right now, but hope is for the promises that God has in the future. Is God a promise keeper? How many of you prayed a lot of prayers according to God's will? I guarantee you, there will not be one prayer you ever prayed according to His will that He will not answer. I'm not taking away the human will and the factor and all those things, but I promise you, you will not pray one prayer, because Jesus said, whatever you ask according to My will, I'm going to do it. Now, God can't save people outside of their own will, but how many of you know He can give a pretty good, compelling reason to be born again? I think about my lost loved ones, and sometimes I say this, Lord, would You just do, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And I think about the Apostle Paul, which was Saul at the time. I said, Lord, even if You need to show up, knock them off their horse, blind them, lead them to a man by the name Ananias, which means grace, and humble them in that way. Whatever it takes for them to get it, Lord, but every prayer that we pray is going to be answered. The Apostle Paul says this, what things were gained to me. He was talking about, all of his qualifications in this world, all of the things he had accomplished, all of the opportunities he had in this world. So he's got this wonderful life. Nobody could say it wasn't blessed by God. It was abundant in every way. He had position. He had possessions. He had influence in people. And he says, but all these things that were gained, these things I've counted as loss. Yet indeed, I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him in the power. I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, that by any means I might attain. This is Paul's clarion call. This is his prayer for himself, and this is his hope for all of us, that in somehow, some way, he might attain to the resurrection of the dead. If you're alive in Christ, would you stand up this morning? If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ this morning, would you come up hither? If you haven't accepted the Lord. We're closer today. Time might go on and on. We might have another 1,000 years. I don't believe so. But the reality is all of us are short timers here. And today is the day of salvation. And if you would like to be a partaker of the divine nature of God, if you would be part of that blessed hope, if you would like to receive in yourself the Apostle Paul's mystery of the resurrection and the hope of eternity through accepting Jesus Christ as the full payment for your sins, I want you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you this morning. Today is a good day to be born again. Hardest thing I ever did. Easiest thing I ever did. You know why it's so hard? Because I was so proud. I was so concerned about what everybody else thought. That's why some people, they want the resurrection, but they don't want the baptism. Do you realize the baptism is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? By the way, when you get a new body, you know what I look forward to? We still get to eat. My old pastor would say, you can eat or you don't have to eat. You don't have to age. You're probably not going to gain weight. Hypothetical. But we will eat. There's something called the marriage supper of the Lamb that happens right before our return after the resurrection. Very short time. We will get to eat. We will get to fellowship. We will get to break bread. The Bible says the power of death is the law. And we've all broken the law. So before Christ, we're all dead. When a guy is convicted of a crime and he's given the death penalty, when a guy is walking down the corridors, whether it's 5 days, 5 months, or 5 years before his execution, the guards yell this out. Dead man walking. Dead man walking. Do we have any dead men walking this morning? Do we have any dead women walking this morning? You have a life given on loan by God, but you are very much dead in your sins and your trespasses. But God, who sits upon a mercy seat, offers you life eternal, life immortal, life abundant with Him. If that's you and you want to accept Christ one more time, just stick your hand up like you're not ashamed. Well, for the rest of us this morning, pray, Lord God, as we live for the here, as we go to ball games, as we cook meals, as we have fellowship, as we grocery shop, as we prepare for birthdays, as we prepare for Christmas, Lord God, as we fix cars, Lord, I pray that you would put eternity in the hearts of each and every one of us, that we would know that it is about the goal of making it to that precious day with you. Lord, I just give you the praise. Let's just thank him right now. I pray the prayer the Apostle Paul prayed, Lord, help me to attain to the resurrection. Help me to attain. Help me to endure. Help me to abide. Help me to be steadfast. Help me to be unmovable. Help me to be unshakable. Help me to be abounding in the work of the Lord while we're still here, Lord. I want you to be glorified. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it's going to be like to worship the Lord with a glorified body? It's like you're not going to have to pray, Lord, show us your glory. It's going to be like, wow, look at me. I'm stopping. I'm just kidding. Lord, I just ask you to bless my family and keep them. Make your face to shine upon us. Be gracious to us. Show us your sweet, smiling face of favor on us every day. Be gracious to us. Thank you for your graciousness in every day and every way, Lord. Help us to look forward to that day, the last day of human government, the first day of the kingdom fully manifest on the earth. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. the old bluegrass song. I wouldn't miss seeing loved ones. I wouldn't miss seeing Jesus and loved ones who have gone on before. I wouldn't miss forever for a few days down here, and I would never miss heaven for the world. You're in this world. Let's not forget that we are not of this world. Amen.